activity, but Kim Cullen is going to tell us about pitfalls. Kim, good morning and welcome. Thank you very much for your time this morning, because we're now not far from December the 1st, and I guess from now on, most weeks, somewhere, there'll be the office gathering. Some are internal, some they go out to external venues, but there's always interesting interaction stories and sometimes regrets. What do we need to look out for?
I think the most obvious one to look out for is how much you drink. If you like a drink, I don't mind a drink myself, but the office party or the work party isn't necessarily the place to do a lot of that. It's very, very tempting because it feels like the end of the year. It's like, oh, now we can exhale. This is our reward. But it's not really the time to cut loose. So that's the thing that'd be number one to be careful of.
And it's added the situation in most cases where the boss is actually paying for that aforementioned drink, and you might think, well, there's 12 months worth to catch up on here, so you try and get as many in as you can, and then all of a sudden, an hour later, things get a bit hazy.
Oh, absolutely, and yeah, especially when it's on the company, it feels like, you know, it can raise that sense of entitlement as well. This is, I've earned this all year kind of thing, definitely, yeah.
The information spread to the staff, is it getting more common now for the conversation we're having now on pitfalls? Is that something now that some businesses are actually having prior to the party starting, just to remind people about responsibilities of good behaviour?
I haven't actually seen that, to be honest. I think companies will always offer the safety warnings, don't drink and drive, you know, the ones in terms of well-being. But to be honest, I work in organisational psychology a lot, and I haven't ever seen a company to say, you know, careful how much you drink. They don't want to be seen as being a red light, I suppose, at the Christmas party. So I think sometimes you have to be your own red light.
Yeah, and I suppose it could be deemed to be a little bit intrusive if you're making that suggestion that there might be misbehaviour, so please don't do it. Some people who are not likely to ever cross that line may be a little bit offended, and I suppose you've got to be careful how you transfer any of that sort of information around in a workplace.
Yeah, that's true.
There's two things that I see as being major problems. Loretta and I alluded to one before the break, and that was that bubbling office romances sometimes come to the fore. That's probably the first one that leads to some interesting outcomes from an office Christmas party.
Oh, definitely. There's nothing like a Christmas party to lead people to confess of their office crushes. And work crushes are absolutely fine and they're normal. But, you know, I think that's that lowering of inhibitions that leads people to confess their crush or make a move or flirt with their crush. You know, just in a word, just don't do that. Certainly don't talk about your, you know, don't confess your crush to your boss, or worse still, don't confess your crush to your subordinate. I mean, Christmas parties are like a reward, and they are to enjoy, and it's a time to relax. It's not a time to get trashed. It's not a time to start a new romance. It's not a time to, you know, confess, you know, things that you don't like or things that you do like about work. It's just a time to, you know, to actually just have nice conversation and enjoy yourself with the people that you work with. But you're still representing your work self, so you have to ask yourself, you know, even though it feels like the end, it's the end of the year, it's not the end of your work life in that company. You know, work will just resume again after Christmas. It doesn't stop. It's not, you know, it's a new year, but it's just a new year. So you have to ask yourself, when I go back to work, am I going to be pleased with what I've done at this Christmas party?
There's arguments still to and against about office romance, whether it is possible for boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife to work together in that situation. I suppose the ones that cause a few problems are they slightly hidden, and when I say slightly, I mean that the two people think that it's hidden, but everyone else in the office realises that it's not. And in some cases, because of policy within the company, these can be career-ending decisions, can't they? Because some companies don't tolerate that sort of office romance.
Yeah, that's true. if and they're not uncommon, let's face it, I mean, we spend a lot of our time with the people that we work with, so it's not uncommon for people to develop genuine feelings for each other. I think if you're starting to, you know, if you're contemplating entering into your office romance, then I would probably check your workplace policy. They may have some policies, depending on IR laws and your contract and within your company. It's very difficult to tell people they're not allowed to be in a romance unless it's boss and subordinate. But in those cases, if you are going to be in one and it's something that you want to pursue a future in, I would probably fess up about it with HR and say, what do we do from here? And there's certainly lots of people who make relationships worse, don't get me wrong, but that comes down to boundaries.
As an extension of this at the office Christmas party, you mentioned about showing your true feelings, and a lot of these could be not reciprocated and become quite offensive and across the board. And I suppose that's the other thing, when the alcohol kicks in and the confidence lifts, that you finally have the courage to say the things that you've wanted to say for the previous 11 and a half months. And they're the ones that get messy, because it can lead to some very uncomfortable environments.
Yeah, not only uncomfortable, but, you know, a visit to HR yourself if that person takes it one step further. You are at the Christmas party, but at the end of the day, it's a work do. So if it's a work do and, you know, your attention's not wanted or makes somebody feel unsafe or uncomfortable, then you do run the risk of more serious implications than just being embarrassed.
The last one I think can be a problem, and I've witnessed this myself, is that aforementioned confidence with the alcohol, and you get then to say the things to the boss that you haven't had the confidence to say through the year, and they again can be career-ending. But also, it's I've seen in this particular case where someone finally from a group of workers who thought they were being treated poorly has had the confidence to come out and open up the discussion, and I've seen it have a positive effect long term on the workplace while having this really negative short term effect. Do you see those as also things that need to be handled very carefully?
Oh, absolutely. If you have any, to be honest, I would avoid any gripes at all at the work Christmas party. It's not the place for it anyway. It's supposed to be a night where everybody can, or a day where everybody can relax and enjoy a conversation. So, but there are a couple of risks there. Even if you have a valid point and you've been treated unfairly and things need to be said, if the confidence is based on alcohol, then you're not going to be taken seriously. It would be very easy for an organisation to go, you behaved inappropriately, you were intoxicated, you know, and just dismiss what you've said anyway. So that's a problem. But the other thing is too, you know, if you're going to, if you get the confidence to express a gripe, that may not mean that you express it in an appropriate way. And so you'll lose footing there. Everything that you say, I would avoid anything negative. Don't trash your work. Don't trash your project. Don't trash your colleagues. Don't trash your boss. It's not the time at the Christmas party. But what I will say, just because I feel remiss if I wouldn't, if somebody is being treated unfairly at the workplace, you know, march yourself to HR and have a little conversation there. It's no good putting up with it all year and then it all coming out at the Christmas party.
Yeah, I suppose that that fear of losing your job, that you're the one that speaks out and you could be cut, left unemployed. I suppose a lot of people are in environments where they're not game to speak out for that fear. How would, you know, as an extension of the Christmas party conversation, but how would you suggest that conversation take place? Because not all offices are big enough to actually have a HR department.
Oh, that's a really good question. If you have a HR department or peer support or whatever your organisation has, have a conversation with them. But if you don't, there is always WorkSafe. So every state has WorkSafe, a government organisation that is there to ensure the safety of workers. I would go there, but sometimes it's really, really hard to make an accusation, and you don't want to be wrong, and you don't want to be accused of causing trouble. If you ever think you're being treated poorly or your organisation is not safe, then you can always go and inquire. You can always say, look, I'm not making any accusations. This doesn't feel good. I'd just like to make an inquiry if lines are being crossed here. even that is a good place to start. I think when we start going down the accusation road, it can feel, it's important to do, don't get me wrong, but it can feel like you're on the line, but you're not on the line by asking a question. You know, this comes down to sexual harassment, this comes down to bullying, this comes down to anything. Go to either WorkSafe, someone you trust in the workplace, a senior, or HR, and say, I'm not making an accusation, but this occurred. I feel uncomfortable. I'd like to inquire if this is something that needs to be followed up.
There was a time where many Australians were involved in unions, and unions were used to take the cause up for groups, but in a non-unionised workplace, is the strength of numbers, is that helpful if you've got a group of four, five or six who all feel the same way, but it just takes someone to develop the courage? Is the idea of half a dozen people wandering into an office to put a case forward a good idea, or sometimes is that doomed for destruction as well?
I think if there's six people who are affected, then six people should go in and speak. I don't think any one person should ever go in and speak on behalf of everybody else. You know, I've done lots of investigations in poor workplace behaviour and workplace bullying. And when you have someone turn around and they say, everybody feels this way, everybody thinks this, and often my question is, you know, often from there I have to go, look, we're speaking on behalf of your experience now. And you do welcome other people to come in, but if it's six people, then six people need to say. And, you know, but there's nothing wrong with all going in together and making a joint claim, but they will be treated as, you know, separate.
Kim Cullen is an expert in office behaviour. And Kim, let's give us a tip. There'll be people listening this morning that know their office party is on at such and such a venue. It'll have this exact format. What are the last tips you would like to arm them with before they walk in the door for that big event?
I would go in with the intent of having a nice time. Eat the nice food if it's there. Talk to the nice people. Have good conversations about, you know, what your holidays are going to look like, what the next year is going to look like. You know, by all means, enjoy a champers. I will myself at my office Christmas too. You know, but it's not the time to get trash. It's just a little reward for all your efforts during the year. So, you know, treat it as that.
Yeah, very good advice to leave us on. Pitfalls to look out for, things to be careful of. There are other ways to express your feelings. Office Christmas party, generally, in fact, always not the right place. Kim, thank you so much for your guidance and advice. A very interesting chat. Appreciate your time.
No worries. Thanks so much for the chat.
All right, Kim Cullen, interesting discussion. And gee, Loretta, I don't know how many you've been to, but I was just thinking while all that was going on, the number of times where over the years, and I don't go to Christmas parties often, in the environment I've worked in hasn't always had Christmas parties, but some of them can just get, some of them are just damn good fun, but there's the odd one where someone just, for all the reasons we just talked about, steps across that line.
Do you want to hear one of the Christmas parties I'm attending this year?
Yes.
We're doing a sip and paint party.
Oh, okay. So someone's conned their friends to come over and paint their house.
Wouldn't you think? No, no, no. No, it's one of these things. You can go to a studio and you get an easel and a paintbrush and some paints, and you get some instruction on how to, you know, come up with this, you know, beautiful scene or whatever we're going to paint, a little bit of champagne. So I think it's actually really good when the Christmas party has a focus to it. I've done other Christmas parties where we've done barefoot bowls, you know, and there's a bit of something to do as opposed to just stand by the bar and talk about each other. So I think that would be my thing. If you're going to have a Christmas party, have a focus to it. Have some sort of thing you get to do.
I would say barefoot bowls is probably the best one I've attended. And I'm just wondering, how good would Petonk be as a Christmas party?
Well, I'm so glad you asked, because I do believe that the Ballarine Petonk Club will cater for your Christmas party.
There you go.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, you go down. Because it doesn't take much instruction to be able to, you know, get in and have a toss of the bulls. And they're down at the Queenscliff Yacht Club. That's where they're located.
Now, I don't always check emails regularly. I occasionally miss one, and
really,
perhaps I've missed it. But have you picked up the email from Leo on the 94.7 The Pulse Christmas party yet?
I don't know. He's standing just out there in the foyer. Leo, I'm just not quite sure if you're hearing us, Leo. Where is it his shout somewhere? Is that what's going to be happening?
I'm not quite sure. I know we've got a 7-second delay, but we've given him about 20 and he hasn't blinked yet. So maybe there isn't a Pulse Christmas party coming up, Loretta.
Maybe we should organise it. I'll get the petanque organised.
We might put forward a a suggestion on the way out the door. But it would be good. We work in an interesting environment here where you and I, for different reasons, have crossed paths. And Wes, Jay and I crossed paths briefly. And Bob Paulin at breakfast this morning, we crossed paths. But it's only briefly, as you've start and finish your show.
That's right.
It would be really good to get together and have a bit of a chin wag, and I'm sure Leo's organising it behind the scenes somewhere.
I think I saw him. He's got a bit of a red Santa outfit that he'll be wearing.
Wouldn't he make a great Santa?
He'd make it. Yeah, I don't know how the dreadlocks go with that.
They just wrap them around his chin. I saw, I was working in a wool factory once, and someone did that, put a big lump of wool and put it on their head and then just continued to wrap it around the chin. It worked beautifully.
There you go. Oh, I think we've got it nailed, really.